This morning we're going to be looking into the Word, as we do every Sunday. But today we're going to be looking at Psalm 46. And I will begin to read that. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. I want to stop there for a minute. All of the verses that we have just read basically is talking about a war. The psalmist is writing about wars and so forth and so on, struggles that are happening to the children of Israel. And therefore, they're struggling. They're in pain. They're afraid. They fear. And yet God is reminding them through the psalmist that he's got it under control. He always has it under control. There's nothing that passes by him. He is observant. He hears. He speaks. He knows. There's no changing with him. But the thing about Psalm 46 is this. As we get to verse 10, something strange happens. No longer is the psalmist writing, but it is God who is speaking to his people. And we know that psalms are written for God's people, you and I. So he is writing this to you as you read it. It says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Then the psalmist picks up again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God, is a popular verse that is used to encourage us as believers to be still and silent before the Lord. It's also a verse that comforts us in many others. However, there are many who are led to think that it means to rest and relax. We don't have to do anything. Let's take it easy. Let's put our feet up on the couch or whatever we do with our feet when we try to get very quiet. There is a time during our busy days that we have to meditate on scriptures and to be silent, listening for God. In Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will meditate upon your precepts and regard your ways. In Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus himself, he took time, would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He took his time to go to a place to pray by himself, to be quiet. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear the requests that we have. Don't make it a shopping list of things that you do every time. There are things that are happening in our lives that we need to request help from God. And he's waiting for you to ask, to come into his presence. You know, all we have to do is turn the news on or look at the papers or whatever. If there ever was a time of trouble, it's really right now. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. There is no doubt that we're living in a time of crisis and chaos and mayhem. There's no question about that. But they're occurring both personally and globally. There are events that are taking place in your lives, in my life, that we have no clue why. But we're certainly causing us to be at war against the enemy of our souls, Satan. You know, it's easy for us to be fearful when things aren't going well or when we are faced with challenges and conflicts in our lives. The psalm seems to have been written during that time of war, a time of conflict of Israel and other nations. But it could also be that the psalmist himself was in a struggle, in a personal struggle. And so that's where we're going to be this day. Our personal struggles. I mean, we're not out there fighting a war. We're here, comfortable, depending on what chair you're sitting on. There are some that are more comfortable than others, I believe. But we're not at war physically. We're not out there combating. Spiritually, we are. We're at war with Satan. With all the things that are happening, such as school, culture, everything, he's trying to eliminate us. In Psalm 46, the psalmist is writing to remind us that God is our strength. And at work, even though there are times we don't see God working, or it seems that he's not working, but he is, I guarantee you that he's working continuously. He's working during our good times, and he's working in our struggles. The psalms written to the people of God. The psalms are ours to go to and to read, to meditate upon them, to know who God is. You know, verse 1 of this particular Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength. Our. Does that mean you and I? Yes, it does. It's our strength comes from God. And our refuge is in him. So the Psalms are for God's people. So let us meditate upon them. And as I said earlier, suddenly in Psalm 46:10, however, the psalmist, instead of writing about the Lord himself shows up and addresses us directly. He's talking to you and I in this psalm. He's telling us to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See, God is also telling us that he'll be exalted in the nations and in the earth. He has no problem being exalted. He knows that every knee will bow before him and proclaim him as Lord. God is speaking and commanding the people of God then and now. That's us. Stop fighting. Be still. Stop striving. And to open our eyes to recognize who he is. We need to know who God is. In his word is all that we need. And his spirit will guide us in that search. In the middle of our struggle, God tells his people, guess what? Wake up and recognize who's on their side. God is addressing Israel and us in this verse. Be still and know that I am God. He's not just telling them to be still and rest. Take it easy. He was calling them and today calling us to take the time to pause and reflect. He wants to remind us that he is still in control no matter what happens in our lives. Amen. He is in control, but he wants us to stop striving. And when we're striving, we're trying to do things on our own. We haven't asked him. We haven't requested from him to be with us in our struggle. You know, we all have mountaintop experiences, but we also have the valley experiences. In either situation, God is with us. You know, by taking the time to be still and connect with God, we can find peace even in the midst, in the middle of all the chaos that's going on and that we find ourselves in. Being still isn't always easy. Today, in the midst of our struggles, we as God's people, you and I should read this verse as a wake-up call. We should read this Psalm 46:10 as a wake-up call from our slumber and complacency and fear in the things that really matter, and to recognize who is on our side. God is for you and for me. He's on our side. We're his children, and he loves doing things for us. He loves to bless us. However, we are consumed. We're too absorbed on how the world goes about doing their thing rather than doing God's way. We're absorbed with the things of the world. Oh, that sounds like a good thing to do. Let's go ahead and do there. Let us be wavering. No. With God, you don't waver. He's steadfast. And as we said, he is faithful, and his promises are true, and amen. You know, God is telling us, he's appealing to us to stop striving. How many of us, we get up in the morning and we bless the Lord for the day that's here. We thank him for the breath that he's given us. We're alive. We're above ground. And yet, the minute we finish our coffee, we're off doing our own thing. We're doing it our way, whatever it may be. We're not asking God to be with us. In fact, we should ask God, how should this day go? What do you want me to do? What shall I do to honor you and glorify you this day? He wants us to stop fighting. He wants us to stop fighting between ourselves. The discord among God's people should not be there in the church. In fact, it shouldn't be in our own houses. It shouldn't be in your place of work. Stop fighting. Stop trying to do things on your own. Stop getting all stressed out. How much do you gain when you get stressed? You don't gain anything. You gain nothing of value. Stop getting all stressed out about the battle that's ahead and trust me. Wake up. I am the Lord. I am your refuge and your strength. You have nothing to fear or worry about when I am with you. And I am with you always. Does God ever leave you? The answer is no. Who is the one that departs from him? We do. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, it says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He is with you always. He is a God. He is a God. No, he is the God, the only God. And he loves you, and he desires to be with you always. Relate back to God. He says, I will fight your battles and deal with your enemies, so get out of my way. Step back, open your eyes, and acknowledge who I am and what I can do. Let me be God. Don't try and do my job for me. Be patient, be still, and let me go to work. In Psalm 46:10, it says, it should be an encouragement and a comfort to us as believers in our struggles and strife. You know, in the center of a conflict, in life's turmoil, we need to open our eyes. I mean, you don't want to walk through life blind. You need to open your eyes. You need to see what's going on. But you need to know, most importantly, who God is. and that he is for you. We need to stop, step back, stop what we're doing. Everything that's in the flesh needs to be stopped. And acknowledge who God is and what he can do. In knowing what God is able to do and his desire to do it on our behalf provides for us the security and comfort in the chaos and in peace amid the struggle. Be still. Have you heard that before? Two words. Be still. Were spoken by Jesus as recorded in Mark 4, verses 36 through 41. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was taking on water, already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep. Is that where we get our thought that God sleeps? See, I don't see him working, so he must be sleeping. Is he really? No. He's at work. Asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Look, we're dying. The boat's going to sink. Where do you think the boat's going to sink to? The bottom. And we're in it. It's goodbye for all of us. I just added that a little bit. Sort of paraphrase. But they certainly must have been scared. They knew about storms in that area. They were fishermen. But this one must have been really serious. Really serious. And they're trying to do everything. They're probably trying to throw all that water out of there. And yet, one person is sleeping away. And his name is Jesus. Says that we are perishing. And he got up. And he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Are there situations in our lives right now that you need to wake up Jesus? The fact is that we need to go to Jesus. He's waiting for you to make your request. Lord, I cannot take this struggle anymore. I'm perishing. And he will say, be still. And that struggle will die down and be calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? My answer was, I'm going to drown. I don't know how to swim. That's why I'll be afraid. And my buddies are going to go with us. That's why I'm afraid. Do you still have no faith? And they became very much afraid. They became very much afraid. And said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? We are being called to be still before our holy, awesome, and glorious God. We as God's people must end what we are doing and acknowledge and proclaim that God alone is the sovereign ruler of the universe and commit to following him. Fully. In Romans 14, verse 11, it says, For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. All will know who God is. There'll be no doubt. They will find out who God is. But our opportunity now is to know who God is, to know him fully. To be in his word, to follow his spirit, you know, to be able to find security in God, there needs to be an attempt on our part to put away the securities, in other words, trash the securities that you have in the world, and that your security is solely on God. You know, God will make his glory known. His word says so. And he doesn't need us to make it known. It will happen. But he does desire us to glorify and honor him and to know him now. We have this opportunity. He's given us life. We need to remember to be still. So be still and remember who God is. Be still and stop fearing. Be still and see what God is doing. Be still and acknowledge his greatness. Be still and know God is with you and for you. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. To sing how great is our God, I need to know how great he is. There are four translations. The NIV says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The King James Version says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The New American Standard says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And the Amplified Bible says, be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There is a command in each one in this verse of Psalm 46:10. And that command is be still. Be still. Cease striving. Stop. There's a second command. And that second command is the word no. The same in all the above translations that we just talked about here, which means acknowledge, recognize, understand, and be in awe. Be in awe of your God. Well, how can we be still and silent? Well, that's a question. That's a good question. First of all, do we really have intentions to follow God's command from Psalm 46:10, to be still and to know who he is? Do we really want to know who God is? Or are we satisfied with the one that we have now? And perhaps the one we have now is a mixture of the world in the spiritual. It is not the true God. How do we get to know someone? You need to relate to them. We need to relate to God. You develop a relationship with those people. That's how you get to know them. It's no different with God. We develop a relationship by getting to know who he is, by talking to him, by listening to him. So it makes sense that in order to know God, we need to spend time with him. In order for us to develop that relationship that he so desires and we so desperately need. Unfortunately, there's a couple of things that get in the way, and they're called distractions that prevent us from giving full attention to what we want to do, such as prayer, being still, listening to God. It's an important fact that we need to remove distractions. You know, life is maybe fast-paced for many of us. We may be overwhelmed by the busyness of the day we live in. And if we have children still, they'll keep you active forever. What about the distractions that come from the fear-mongers, among the press, among the government, among the financial and medical experts with their doom and gloom? We have distractions that come from every direction at any time of the day. During that day, our busyness can't get away, can't get in the way of having time alone with God. So therefore, our time with God needs to be a priority, a number one priority. You know, those distractions and worries and concerns follow us. I mean, they hang on you like glue. Even as we're going into that quiet time that we want to have with God, they're there, hanging on. We feel that we can't slow down. We got to be doing something all the time. Our time has to be consumed by something. And most of the time, it's not being with God. And that is another thing that we do need to set some specific time and find ourselves a quiet place for solitude. Jesus did that. He went out into the wilderness. He got away from the crowd. He got away from his apostles, his disciples. He got away to be alone with God, to pray, to seek direction. You know, we have to turn off our distracting noises in the background, like a radio or TV or another electronic device, such as our so-called smartphones. I can never understand a person that goes on vacation and brings his phone with him. You know, ultimately, what happens? Ding dong. We silence the external, outside distractions. We're able to get rid of them, but all of a sudden, I'm thinking, what's for dinner? The internal distractions are there. Oh, when am I going to have an appointment with the car? I need to register the car. And this is coming to my mind. Oh, the kids are coming over tonight. Oh, what are we going to do? No, I need to stop. I need to stop those distractions. So it's essential that we silence our inner being. Get rid of all that would cause us to be distracted. And then we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional to take the time to listen to God. Some people think that they can hear God right immediately on the first second that they've did this. Oh, I'm going to listen to God. Wait a minute. If you were able to do that, praise God. But I find it a struggle trying to listen to God. But His Word says don't surrender. Don't surrender to the enemy. Don't waver. He's steadfast. He's there. And don't give up. Set it as your goal, your priority. Do we really want to know God? If so, then let us be still before the Lord and come to know who He is. Psalm 62:1 says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. In Psalm 62:5, it says, my soul waits in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you want to know God? He's given you everything. He's given you His Word. He's given you His Spirit. He has given you everything. So let's stand as we're prepared to sing our last song. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank You and praise You for this time together, Lord God. Lord, I just ask that Your Word would go forth, Lord God, because You have a reason for it. You want to have that relationship with us, oh, Lord God, that You so desire. So, Lord, we ask that Your people would also have that desire to be with You, to hear from You, Lord God, to be able to come before You and say, Lord, direct me. What am I to do? I have situations in my life, oh, Lord God, that need to be taken care of, Lord. I know some of them are not of You, Lord. How do we go about it? How do You go about doing that? We thank You, oh, Lord God. We thank You for the peace and comfort that You give us. We thank You for Your love, Your agape love, Lord God, the love of God. And so, Lord, we thank You and praise You that we, in fact, can come into Your presence by the precious blood of Jesus, into Your throne room of grace, Lord, to receive mercy in grace, Lord. We thank You for that. So, Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would guide Your people this week, Lord, to be able to come into a quiet place, Lord, to hear from You, Lord. Lord, that those distractions that each one of us has, and they're different, that they would be gone in the name of Jesus, that there would be clarity in that time of silence, Lord God, clarity to hear Your voice, and Lord, for Your directions. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.